Good morning to you. Welcome to Morning Drive. I'm Ellen Speer, and you're listening to WTBR 89.7 FM, Pittsfield Community Radio. And the person that you've seen on your screen, if you're doing the simulcast dancing this morning, is Alex Rechkovsky, the director of the Berkshire Athenaeum. And Alex, we're delighted to have you here today.
Good morning, Pittsfield. Thank you for including me, Ellen.
Oh, we are delighted to have you here today. And you know what I've been looking at that's so fascinating to me is I had no idea. I think of a library. I think of an Athenaeum. Well, first of all, the first obvious question, why is it called an Athenaeum, not a bloody library?
Athenaeum. Well, yeah, that is from our beginnings, and it is a library and a museum together.
Yeah.
So nowadays, we think mostly of our Herman Melville collection, our special collections as our museum aspects. But yeah, it comes back from Athena, a palace for wisdom, a palace for knowledge. So it's both a library and museum together. So you got them both right here.
And what was so interesting to me that I didn't know is so many more things that you do than just going in to check out books. That was particularly fascinating. And the thing that really caught my eye that I hope you'll talk about is the Library of Things. What's that about?
Of course. Yeah. So it's not, like you said, it's not just books. People have all kinds of needs and they're coming to the library to be connected to resources. So we found that there are lots of random things that maybe we don't need at home. My favorite example was when I was a kid, I always wanted a metal detector. I saw them on TV. I thought, oh, this is just so cool. Ellen, have you ever used one?
I have never, and I'm asking
you
why.
It seems really cool.
Why?
Really cool.
Just a cool thing.
I thought, oh, there must be treasure in my backyard,
yeah.
Or there must be so many things to see. And then you actually get the metal detector.
And
you know, it's fun for like, I don't know, 45 minutes or an hour in my backyard, and then I get tired of finding just screws loose or rusty nails or something, and then it's not so fun. So that's one of the fun things that we added to our Library of Things. You come, you try it out, see if it's something that you want, and then when you get tired of it, you can give it back. You haven't invested all that money
okay.
in it.
So metal detectors, what are the kinds of things can you
take
out?
Something that we've added more recently are some Spanish language board games. So we've got people who are Spanish speakers learning English and English speakers learning Spanish. And so the board games can be a fun way to practice those language skills. We also have a karaoke machine.
No.
Mm-hmm.
No.
Mm-hmm. You know that you need it for your birthday party, and then you don't really want to
use
it again.
Now I know I need it for my birthday party.
Yes, yes, of course. I know the WTBR family loves a little karaoke now and then.
Yeah, yeah.
Come on. We also added some tools for everyday tasks. So these are things like a radon detector, an air pump for tires, a portable power charger, even a toolkit.
So you just, the whole idea is that you'd go in, how long can you keep something for?
Yeah, so it has a 1 week borrow time with a one-time automatic renewal. So like 2 weeks, but most of these are things that you just need for a small project,
yeah.
Bring them back.
Yeah, yeah. The other thing that I thought was particularly interesting, especially this time of year where so many of us are doing gardens now, is that you've got a seed library.
Yes.
I mean, I assume you don't check them out and bring them back. So it must work a different way.
Kind of. You know, we do start off the season really well. We had a great kickoff last month. Ton of people came out and borrowed a bunch of seeds. And now we're hoping that it's making Pittsfield grow and grow more beautiful. And if you harvest seeds in the fall, then you can donate those seeds back. It's not a requirement, but
okay.
we do invite you to do that.
So is it all flowers, all vegetables?
Yes, everything.
Everything.
You got it.
And any kind of helpful instructions or yan-yan?
Yeah, if you come to our adult services department, come to our reference desk, we've got a simple paper you fill out and just tell us, we want to know what everybody's borrowing, so, you know, what kind of seeds you're interested in so that we keep getting the good ones.
Yeah, that's cool. And another aspect of the library that I thought was kind of cool was the local history collections.
Mm.
There's so much. I live off Holmes Road,
mm-hmm.
so I go by Arrowhead all
Absolutely.
The time, and I think of Melville. So
of
what you got in the basement there?
Yeah, so yeah, on our main floor, I love that you talked about both of these things, because in the local history department, we do have this tremendous history of Berkshire County, history of Pittsfield, really great resources. You know, we had a volunteer named Don Lutz, and he dedicated his life to the library. He spent so much time. He's made a master index. So he would go through all of the books about the Berkshires, and he would say, this index in the back of the book, I'm not sure about it. He'd go through the book and re-index it.
No.
And then he would add that electronic version of the index to his master index. So instead of going through each book about the Berkshires one by one and looking in their individual indexes in the back, right, you can check the Lutz master index or the Berkshire Family History Association indexes.
So if you're interested, how would that work? Pick a subject.
You can pick General Electric, or you can pick PCTV, or a family name, right? Holmes, the Holmes.
Okay.
Holmes
and Road. Then what do you get?
And then when you put that into the database search, it will give you all of the books and all of the page numbers, all the references, and the full names. So you don't have to go book by book. But then you can, and our staff is excellent. They will help you navigate this. It gets really fun. It's so cool to see the excitement that we actually have materials about what you're looking for.
Yeah.
We also have a tremendous vertical file, so lots of clippings about all kinds of Berkshire topics. So that has your Berkshire, your local history side covered. I mean, of course, I'm talking about these resources that we have, but the very best resources we have is our staff. They have decades of experience, and they can help you refine what your question is.
Yeah. So are these materials open to anybody, or how do you get access to them?
Yes, we are open. We're open Monday through Thursday, 9 a.m. to 9 p.m.
And if I want to see some Melville First Editions, I just...
Yeah, come on in. So that is the other piece of our local history department. We have the local history and genealogy, and then we have a local author's room and the Herman Melville Memorial Room. You'll want to come check it out because we just got some great new swag, some new materials. We got some Herman Melville magnets and postcards. They're really beautiful.
A must.
They're gorgeous. And we have one of two portraits painted of Melville during his life. One of them is there on display,
and that's cool.
What the magnet and the postcard are.
I don't want to put you on the spot. Do you know who the artist was? Was it a local artist?
It was Asa Twitchell.
Oh, yeah. That's cool.
Yeah. Really,
that's
great.
Very, very,
portrait
very
artist.
Cool. And you've got a whole realm of digital stuff, like movies and...
Oh, are you kidding?
Books
we
and
got it.
Audio.
Right,
and
so if... I know we've got lots of great hours. We're open 63 hours a week.
Yeah.
But if you can't get there while we're open, we've always got stuff online. So we have a tremendous collection with Overdrive. That's through our CW Mars network, library network.
Yeah.
And last year we had over 2 million borrows from that Overdrive collection in CW Mars.
Wow.
And then for folks who live in Pittsfield, you can also use our Canopy subscription, which is a streaming video service.
Okay, so you just from home, you can just dial it up and do your thing.
Yeah.
And you have computers that are available for people's use?
We do. You know, one of the most used aspects of the library, resources at the library, is our printing service. So you might have a computer at home, or maybe you're using your phone or your tablet as your computer, but you probably don't have a home printer anymore.
Got it.
Everybody's coming in, and you can print right from your mobile phone. We've got great staff that can help walk you through that. After you do it once, you'll have the hang of it.
You also have a 3D printer, don't you?
We do.
Tell me about how that works.
Yeah. So 3D printing, I know we started over a decade ago with 3D printing. And so we've got a great 3D printer and great staff that can help you first learn kind of the basics of using the machine, and then also how you can do some designs. There are lots of designs you can download online, but then we can show you how you can use software to tweak them, print them out. And it's really about an iterative process. So maybe you print something out, it's not exactly what you expected, so you can tweak your design, print that again, and see how it works.
And is it made out of plastic? What's the medium for that?
Yeah, there is a, it's just a plastic that melts, and so as it melts, it turns it into a plastic string, a filament string.
Got it.
And that's
Got
a plastic that's basically made out of cornstarch. So,
Cool.
or cornstarch-like material.
Yeah. And is there a charge for doing printing things?
No, we don't charge for that.
Wow.
No, we have great support from our friends, so they've paid for all that.
And is that something that you have to reserve? Because I imagine people would now that I know.
Yeah. We do have reserve a librarian services. So when you're first getting started, it's good to schedule a time so that a librarian can really focus and help you learn how to get started. Yeah. But once you get started, no, there's no need to reserve a time.
Cool. Now, in the fun facts to know and tell department.
Here we go.
How many books?
We have about 250,000 books.
Okay, so I'm bound to find what I'm looking for.
Of course.
Let me ask a subject that's a little bit darker than we've been talking about, because I was reading that in 2024, there were over 800 attempts to censor library material in the country. What's that about, and how do you think about that?
Yeah, we think about what is the right fit for our community, right? I can't really speak to how other communities, libraries, you know, they run their own libraries. And so we've spoken to our community. We recognize what people want, right? You talked about our electronic books. A lot of that is really patron-driven, what patrons are demanding, patrons want to be reading. And so I think a lot of that happens here, too. We have books about tough topics for some families, and some families don't think those topics are so tough. So we're really trying to meet the needs of all of our families.
And when you get requests to review material, and then what is that process for people saying, I think this ought to be in the library, I'm not so sure this ought to be in the library, what's the process for that?
Yeah, so our process is usually about having a conversation. You know, we don't want just to have somebody complain and not be able to talk it through with us.
Yeah.
And so we'll want to hear what somebody objects to or what they're uncomfortable with and why that is. And usually through that conversation, we can come up with an understanding of why. And if something is maybe in a collection that could be younger, you know, we might move it to our young adult department or to our adult collection if it is something like that.
Explain that.
Our library we generally have three collections: our adult collection, our young adult collection, and our children's collection. And so children's is until maybe fifth grade, until maybe 12 or tweeny years. I don't know, do we even say tween anymore?
You did just now.
I'm aging myself, I guess. Yeah, and then our young adult department is from that 12-ish to 19 or 20. And so we'll look at a collection, you know, we'll look at a material and see which department of the library it fits in with best.
And what are the kinds of factors that you look at for that?
Yeah, that would be content, you know, what is it? Is it mature content, or what we might call mature content?
Yeah.
Is it written? Who is the intended audience? Right, because there can be books that are about difficult things, but are written at a level for children.
Yeah, yeah. The other kind of startling thing that I found in thinking about what's happening with information, and you know, because you hear a lot about is it news? Is it real? Is it not real? And people are having a hard time really understanding and trusting information that they see in libraries. Sure. You know, I know for me, I grew up in the library and went through, you know, everybody's biography one at a time, every Nancy Drew one at a time, you know, and it was just something that we did in my life. And it was the place that we always felt was above any kind of fray, in a way, that it just held the knowledge.
Sure.
I was reading that in 2001, when the towers were struck, the U.S. in part of the U.S. Patriot Act, and I'm sure you're familiar with this, that the FBI at that point was given the power to collect information on what people borrow from libraries and what they search in libraries. And as far as I know, that's still in effect.
Sure. That's such an interesting question. I love the way that you're speaking, because I can hear just in the words that you use and the way you talk about libraries that you had a really strong library education, right? You had a school library. You had a school librarian, the way you talked about biographies.
I waited 6 weeks for Charlie and the Chocolate Factory when it first came out. So,
yes,
you know.
You did. And so I think that's a first important step, that we are emphasizing the need for literacy, for digital literacy, for understanding what privacy means, right? I think about generations now that are posting every book they're reading on their Instagram, right? And that is very different than the kind of privacy mindset that I think you and I are thinking of. And so I guess to directly answer your question, I don't want you to feel like I'm evading your
question.
Which is, libraries care about your privacy. We probably care about your privacy more than you most of the time.
Yeah, yeah.
And so we've created our systems where we don't have the information to share, right? If someone came and said, I want to know everything that Ellen read last year, we do not keep that data. When you've returned a book, your circulation history is anonymized. And so I might have access to what books you currently have checked out,
right,
but I wouldn't be able to go back and see what you've checked out over the course of the year or the decade or whatever. So,
and is that how libraries nationally have dealt with this situation?
Yeah, I think that's a pretty common approach, that you can't give data you don't have.
Right. And what about searches on the public computers?
Yeah, so our public computers, when you use them, you log in with your library card, and that allows you to release any print jobs with your same library card. But once you step up from that computer, the computer restarts. And when it restarts, all of the browsing history, all of the data, any files you downloaded, it's all gone.
Okay. Let me ask you a question, sort of your personal perspective, and
sure,
not necessarily the library's
okay
perspective. Is there ever a valid reason to ban a book?
Is there ever a valid reason to ban a book? Well, I would have to really think. I guess if we talk about the First Amendment, right, then certain hate speech isn't protected by the First Amendment.
So you wouldn't have Mein Kampf in the library?
Well, I think that's a debate on the community level, right?
Yeah.
I think in terms of kind of historic and educational and academic reasons to have it, that there could be a case made.
Okay. It's not a straightforward question, I realize.
It really isn't. And the other thing, I don't know, banning gets a lot of publicity, I suppose, but if a book is on the shelf, you don't have to check it out, Ellen.
There is that.
Ranganathan is an Indian philosopher who really worked in libraries, and one of his tenets is that every reader has their book, and every book has its reader.
Yeah.
And so just knowing that this book might not be for me, I think a librarian of Congress, previous librarian of Congress, had said, if you take the number 100 and you subtract your age from it, that's about the number of pages you should give a book before you give up on it. And so the closer you get to 100, you can read a couple pages and say, okay, I don't have to finish reading.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So finish it.
How is, we understand that also the Institute for Museum and Library Services, IMLS, has been severely cut back in the recent round. And one of the things that I understood about that is that it gives tremendous support to the digital infrastructure. Where if I want a book, but it's in San Diego and, you know, or whatever, you know, agreements among libraries to be able to quickly find information and finding aids and really, like you talked about, the local gentleman who did the massive indexing. It's sort of the country's major index. How is that going to have an impact upon our library here?
Sure. So the Institute for Museum and Library Services, the IMLS, they filter down federal funding to the state level.
Right.
So that comes to the Massachusetts Board of Library Commissioners, the MBLC. And then they filter that funding down to our local libraries. And so in Massachusetts, the reduction of IMLS funding will initially reduce our state infrastructure, so our state library infrastructure. And some of that is, as you said, the digital infrastructure. So we talked about Libby or OverDrive. That's where we've got so many ebooks and audiobooks.
Yeah.
Oh, I love the I know we've got listeners. We got audiobook people listening right
I'm
now.
Sure,
so
we do.
It's so much easier. You don't need the CDs like in the old days. You just use Libby and stream that e-audio.
Right.
So the platform fees for that is paid for through the state with that funding.
And by platform fees, you mean?
So that would be
your ability to have it.
The ability to, exactly. So our library will be buying copies of ebooks or e-audiobooks, but that allows us to have that base platform. So that's funded at the state level.
Got it.
So all of the people working and organizing at the state, and then this platform fee. It also funds our LSTA, which are technology, basically, library grants, direct grants. So here in Pittsfield, we've had grants to better serve our retired population. We've had grants to better serve our patrons with disabilities. We've had grants full steam ahead when science, technology, engineering, arts, and math for kids. We made STEAM kits for them. And so those direct grants would be eliminated or reduced without the federal funding.
And so what are we going to experience here in the Berkshires, and when?
Yeah, well, we will see, because Massachusetts is among a number of states who have sued to put an injunction to stop the dismantling of the IMLS. So I think that, you know, it's still up in the air how that funding will go. We will see a reduction in that state support if that's cut.
Yeah. Isn't there also kind of national finding aids? In other words, if I want to find, as you were giving the example locally, if I want to find everything about Melville, I can use a national system with a finding aid if I'm doing research for a book or if I'm really digging into a subject, and I'm wondering how that might be affected.
Sure. We do use OCLC, which is an international database of books and materials throughout libraries throughout the world. And so the state infrastructure that connects us to OCLC is in danger without the funding, because that funding does support that. So
talk more about that. I don't think people have any idea of what is available at our fingertips in terms of the knowledge of the world and the knowledge of history.
We are so lucky here in Massachusetts that we have such a strong library infrastructure. So with your library card, your local library card here in Pittsfield, or if we've got people in North Adams or Great Barrington or Dalton or Lanesboro listening, we're all connected through the central and western Massachusetts resource sharing, CWMARS network. Exactly. And through that network, we have 166 libraries connected that we share a catalog. So if there's something you want, you put a hold on it, and it will come from any one of those 166 libraries through a delivery system that's state funded. And it will show up, usually on average, they're filled within 5 days. So pretty remarkable. That takes from our 250,000 items in Pittsfield to, I don't know, there's something like 3 million, I don't know, many millions in the whole network.
Yeah.
Now, that's our 166 libraries in CWMARS. If there's something you want that we don't have there, but we have it in Massachusetts, then we have something called the Commonwealth Catalog, or COMCAT for short. Mm-hmm. And so then we can use that to access directly to your library through the system, through Massachusetts delivery from any Massachusetts library. And then if there's something else that we still can't get our hands on, we have a state process through OCLC. It used to be the Ohio Library Consortium. Yeah. I can't remember it now. Yeah. They've changed their name over the decades.
University-based at first.
It was, exactly. Yeah. And so then that connects libraries from around the world, and we can get those interlibrary loans.
Yeah. So a lot of people are reading things, they're hearing things, and they're going, is that real? Tell me more about that. Give me the history. Can you give us like the short Reader's Digest version of how do you do research? You say, I read about this thing and I don't know much about it. I don't know if it's real. You know, is it really in the Constitution? Is it not in the Constitution? What have people said about it? When you walk into the library, what are some of the kinds of questions you could ask the librarians? What are some of the research tools that you could use to find out for yourself what's true?
Sure. Our library staff get all kinds of questions, questions. And I think you really hit the nail on the head, is that come into the library and have that conversation with our library staff. They can walk you through, we call it a reference interview, and it really helps you nail down what your question is. And then once you understand what you're really asking, we can help you get the resources that you're looking for. If it is, you know, you brought up the Constitution. We've got copies of the Constitution to hand out. One of our dear friends of the library, Jim Arponte, always made sure that we had copies of the Constitution. So But we can help you find the resource that best matches your question once you flesh that out.
And is it just books, or is it resources and other media as well?
Absolutely. We've got everything. We've got books. We've got ebooks, audiobooks, graphic novels. You know, sometimes the best way to dive into a story is with pictures, depending on your flavor, what's interesting to you. So,
sure.
So they can be very helpful. We also have research databases with scholarly journal articles, depending on what exactly is right for you.
So are you connected to university journals too, of really heavy duty scholarly material?
We do have some through a state database procurement.
Yeah.
And then we also have connections through the Boston Public Library. So BPL is the Library for the Commonwealth. Everyone in Massachusetts is eligible for a Boston Public Library card. You can get an login, get your BPL e-card. You can get an electronic card from home with your Massachusetts address. You don't even have to go. And that will open up all of their electronic resources. Now, they will have a greater amount of e-resources than our library does. But if there's an article, if there's anything that you really want, we will work to get it through our system for you.
Yeah. Let's talk about kids for a minute.
Yes.
I've read a lot about the 10 book kids versus the 1,000 book kids before they get to school, and that kids who are exposed to a lot of books, kids who have been read to, tend to do empirically better in school. But a lot of people I know are a little afraid to kind of open up that great kids book and do all the voices and the motions and everything else that kids love, and when they've asked for it to be read for the 33rd time, and you know, it's like, if I have to do this Tasha Tudor book one more time, I'm going to throw it across the room.
I hear some lived experience
yes,
in the room.
Yes, you do. What are some ways that parents, and some resources that you guys have for parents who are just getting a toe in the water but really want their kids to succeed?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, you've really done your homework. You really know how we do our work. So we've got a great program in our children's library, 1,000 books before kindergarten. So we've got a great poster on the wall, and you can choose a little character for your child, or depending on your child's age, they can pick their own. And then we have tracking sheets, so you keep track of what you read with your child, what your child is starting to read on their own. And really, we work towards that 1,000 books before kindergarten, just because, as you said, we see that is such a predictor of better outcomes for kids. And so throughout that journey, we also have prizes and awards and books for the kids who are participating. I'm so thankful for Mary Talmy and her family, who have sponsored that at the library, and that we've been able to really celebrate that. It's been so cool to see kids moving up the scale and get up to that 1,000 books before kindergarten. And then if it's new parents or folks who maybe are less comfortable, we do have story times at the library. We've got
what are those?
Yeah, those are on Tuesdays and Thursdays at 10 o'clock. We've got STEAM, a Tinker Tots program, which is kind of STEM or STEAM, STEAMY,
yeah.
as you will.
The STEAMY program at the library, right?
Yeah, and we have Play and Learn on Thursdays. So these are, you know, we have our librarians doing story times. We've got a collaboration with CFCE.
What's that?
Coordinated Family...
Something.
Oh, Jen Faulkner is probably cursing me for forgetting what CFCE stands for.
But it's a collaborator who works with children.
Exactly. And so they do great programming together. Sarah Russell Scholes, our children's librarian, and she and Jen Faulkner work really well together.
Mm-hmm.
So that we are modeling great behavior for the families, for the parents who are learning as well. So we're there to support you.
So are these drop-off programs, or are these programs where you are with your child so you can
stay
learn?
You'd stay with your kids and learn. And I think the parents love the networking opportunity to get to know each other, too, that they're going through the same thing that we're not. Or I shouldn't just say parents, our caregivers, right? Because there's all kinds of adults spending time with the kiddos throughout the day.
And what should parents look for to see what kind of books their kids might be interested in?
Yeah. Your kids are going to tell you what they're interested in. It's really that easy. Every kid finds their own niche, it seems, and you know, we've got books on just about everything. So bring your kid in, explore, walk through it with some of our staff.
And we're going to talk more about these programs in just a minute with my guest, Alex Rechkovsky. He's the director of the Berkshire Athenaeum, and we'll be talking about all things books and all things library. So I hope you'll stay with us on WTBR. We'll be right back. Stay tuned.
Stay tuned for more Morning Drive here on WTBR FM. You're tuned to Pittsfield Community Radio, 89.7 WTBR FM Pittsfield and 88.1 WSBR Lee.
Support for WTBR comes from Greylock Federal Credit Union, proud to support high school arts and sports programs to help our community thrive. Greylock Federal, with locations throughout the Berkshires and online at greylock.org.
And from UCP of Western Massachusetts. UCP of Western Mass is hiring full and part-time opportunities to provide a life without limits for people with disabilities. For more information, ucpwma.org/jobs.
Do you have a favorite show on WTBR-FM? Did you miss the last episode? We've got good news for you. Most of our shows are now available on podcast. You can subscribe to your favorite and have the latest episode downloaded to your device automatically on Apple, Google, Amazon Music, Stitcher, or Overcast. Go to WTBRFM.com/podcasting and find out more today. WTBRFM, for the love of radio.
Let's take a moment to talk about your wellness. Financial wellness, that is. Contact your heating and electric companies to see if you can budget your spending. This way you are paying the same amount for most of the year and are not caught off guard with large heating and energy bills.
Plan your meals out in advance and shop for the week. This will deter you from spending more than you planned.
This money hack brought to you by your neighbors at Greylock Federal Credit Union. All financial education and coaching resources are free and open to the public. Greylock Federal Credit Union, insured by NCUA.
Hello, Phil Tierney here, the host of Berkshire Jazz, where I play all the young tigers and old lions of jazz every Saturday evening from 8 to 10 on WTBR 89.7, Pittsfield Community Radio. Join me Saturday at 8. And if you know someone who likes and enjoys this great American classical music, tell them about us. Spread the word. Jazz is alive and well on WTBR 89.7. Thanks for listening.
Support for WTBR comes from Berkshire Community College. Free community college for any Massachusetts resident without a bachelor's degree at BCC. Find out more at berkshirecc.edu. And from Sundrini Awnings and Home Improvement, providing awnings and canopies in Western Mass. Retractable awnings, retractable screens, gutter and gutter protection systems, commercial awnings and screen rooms, customized solutions available. Online at sundrini.com.
Radio for people who used to love radio. Welcome back, WTBR.
And now back to the Morning Drive on WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio.
And good morning to you. I'm Ellen Speer with you on Morning Drive with Alex Rechkovsky, the Berkshire Athenaeum Director. We're having a wide-ranging discussion about all things books and all things that you can find in the center of Pittsfield. And I love that you're doing your morning dance, Alex.
Yeah, come on. It's hump day, right?
Exactly. So I understand that we were talking about children's books and how important it is to get a book in the hands of children. The summer's coming up. What do you do when they want to be outside and don't want to be anywhere near anything that reminds them of school?
Well, I don't think that books are necessarily have to be like school.
I
think we want entertainment and we want to escape to other worlds all of the times. I know I see kids inside on those hot, hot, hot days. They want to get into the shade and into the cool. So a book is a great way to escape those lazy, hazy days of summer. And we've got our summer reading program that begins June 23rd and runs through Saturday, August 9th. So our theme this summer is Level Up at Your Library. So this is all about games, video games, leveling up, improvement, that actually reminds me of our 3D printing, right? That iterative process of trying, improving a little, trying again, improving a little. So level up at your library. We've got lots of prizes. This isn't just for the kids. We've got young adult and adult programs too. So
and what are those age ranges? What's a young adult?
Young adult would be from, say, 12 or 13 to 19.
Yeah. Yep.
But everyone can participate.
And there's adult reading stuff, too?
Of course.
How does that work?
Come and read. We're actually revamping it so that there are more prizes and more ways to win. Excuse me. And so you can work with our adult services department, sign up, and get registered for those prizes, too.
That sounds really fun. So we were talking about reading to kids and about how, you know, kids, how do you know what your kid's going to like? How many books can you take out for your kid at once to go, here's a bunch, and see where they wind up?
Well, it depends on your family. Every reader is different. And so we try to make sure that it's as many as you're going to use until your next visit, right?
Okay.
We don't want to have anybody hoarding all of the books on trucks or something. I don't know. Or...
That's what would happen in my family. So and here's the other parental horror that I have to, you know, talk to you about. What happens when the toast with the jelly goes jelly side down on page 3, right in front on top of the illustration?
Sure.
What does a parent do about that?
Well, I think depending on the age of the book, if it's one of our board books, you're going to probably be able to wipe that jelly off. And so, just do the best you can, clean it up. Don't overdo it and bring it in, and we'll see what we can do. If we can replace just that page and have you on the way. But the main thing is don't let something silly like that, don't let a little accident get in the way of your library relationship. Just come in and we'll work it out.
So, and I suspect that when you come in, you will not be the first one to
be the first. And, this actually really speaks to one of the reasons that we got rid of fines. So we are a fine-free library, as is our network, so that we want people to just return the books and keep coming to the library. You know?
Yeah, that used to be another panic of mine in my teenage years.
Oh, my
years.
Goodness. I owe 10 cents, so I can never go back in the library. I'm so ashamed.
A net will fall down from the sky
just
when I walk
back.
In. And you said along with the summer reading program that you're doing, there's also an opportunity for kids to write and
absolutely.
Get
some prizes. Our youth services department and the Friends of the Berkshire Athenaeum sponsor this year will be the 47th annual short story writing contest for kids. And it's actually the 28th for young adults. So June 2nd, we'll open the contest and you can drop off your stories at the library, or you can even email them to us. You check out our website, pittsfieldlibrary.org.
And is Level Up the theme for the essay contest too?
Level Up at Your Library is the summer reading theme, but we take short stories in all themes. So there's no requirement on thematic.
And when you say short, what do you mean by that?
I don't know if we have an official length of it, but I imagine anything that our young people are writing would probably fall into that category.
Okay, so there's no upper limit.
No.
Somebody does a novella, it's cool.
Oh, that sounds awesome, right? Yeah, I'd love to see our young people writing novellas.
One of my favorite things that you guys do is the book sale. I have never been able to walk by a book sale and not... I said never again, but I can't help it. So talk a little bit about the book sale, and if you're down, especially if you're moving into a smaller place and you've got boxes and boxes of books, and what do you do with them?
You bring them to the Berkshire Athenaeum.
Anytime?
Well, Monday and Wednesday mornings are when we have our volunteers there. So if you have larger donations, boxes and boxes, if you are clearing out, then we'd ask you to come on Monday or Wednesday mornings. From 9 to noon, we've got volunteers. They're in our garage. They'll open up the garage door. You can unload right onto a table. Now, if you've just got a box or a few books that you want to get rid of, you can drop those off anytime the library is open, 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. Monday through Thursday, 9 to 5 Friday, 10 to 5 on Saturday. And we can take those at either of our circulation desks.
And when does the book sale happen and where is it? And tips for people who want to get the really good stuff before everybody else gets it?
For sure. Yeah, our library has 3 sales. So the next one will be in July. I think it's the week after the 4th of July. I can't remember that weekend weekend dates. So July and then November and March. So those 3 times. And the sale is always Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. And if you want to come on Thursday on that first night, then you've got to be a friend of the Athenaeum. You got to be a friend of the library. And you can join right at the door. It's as little as $10 for the whole year. So you get 3 book sales for $10. We also have different friends tiers for families or lifetime members. And yeah, Thursday night, it is wild. It is fun. We have some speed. What are those called? Those time lapse videos of everybody running into the book sale on Thursday night because everybody wants to get those books first.
And it's right in the library.
We have it right downstairs in our auditorium. Yep, it's in our auditorium, and the friends have a special book sale room as well. So tons and tons and tons of books.
And what's in that special room?
In the special room, they have hardback fiction. They also have nonfiction by topic. And then they have some children's books back there, too.
Very cool. Very cool. So that's coming up. And I noticed that you have some construction going on soon. What are we going to live through and what are we going to see?
We're just wrapping up our paving project. So we've been paving the Bartlett Avenue parking lot. Thank you to everyone for your patience. We've had to have the Bartlett Avenue entrance closed while we did that. And I know it made it inconvenient for our RSVP volunteers, too. Their office has been. But I hope everyone recognizes how worth it it is. The repaving of that parking lot is so worth it. I know we've had lots of complaints about the potholes, and parking is always the biggest complaint at the library. So we got the Bartlett Avenue done, and we're just working on the Wendell Avenue parking lot as well. So we're getting both of those wrapped up.
And what's the expected, and I know it always goes over, so give us a long lead time. When do you think it's going to be?
We should be done soon with our paving. Yeah, paving should be just about done. But we are also in the thick of replacing all of our flooring.
Now, how does that work? You've got tons of books, right?
Yes. Yeah, so it's really cool. They've just started moving the stacks of books. So for the past month or so, we've been doing areas without our book stack. So offices and the RSVP area and around desks. And now we're actually moving the stacks. Oh, it's wild. They keep the books on the shelves and move the whole stacks of books so that we can refloor under them. Oh, it's wild. It's so cool.
So the entire shelf gets moved by big...
There's a shelf moving system where they go into both sides of the shelves and pick them up, jack them up, and then roll them to a new spot so that they can redo it. So I know right now it's uncomfortable, and we're so thankful for everyone being so flexible, coming into that door, into this door, not being able to go upstairs, or this elevator isn't available.
Yeah.
But I think everyone will see how... what a needed, updated it has been.
Another wonderful thing that the library did that I had no idea until I needed it. Everybody's got like a few screens in their basement and keyboards hard drives and obsolete technological stuff that they don't know what to do with. Mm-hmm. And then I saw a little thing that said the library could help me. Do you want to talk about that?
For sure. That is a wonderful annual collaboration with Goodwill. And so we do an Earth Day electronics recycling every year around Earth Day for that week. And you can bring in your computers, your laptops, your monitors, your keyboards, all of your technology. And we will recycle it for you. Now, you can do it all year round at the Goodwill, of course, but it's always fun to see. I think we had over 13 huge, they're called Gaylord boxes. It's a pallet with a huge cardboard box on it. Over 13 of those filled with electronics that we kept out of landfills this year.
That's terrific.
So, it's a wonderful project.
I want to talk about another area of high interest that I know you can help people with. And then we'll talk a little bit about library as community center.
Sure.
Genealogy. Ooh. A lot of people love to find out who and what they are and where they came from.
Who are we?
What kind of resources does the library have to help people with that?
Yeah, we've got it all. Well, we do have Ancestry Library Edition. So that's always a really great start.
What does that mean?
So Ancestry is an online platform that has tons of genealogical resources, and they also have other folks who've been doing their family histories can upload their family trees. So if you find a cousin somewhere who's already done some of the family tree, you can latch onto that and some of your work is already done. So that's a really great place to start. And then On top of that, we've got census records, we've got birth, marriage, and death records locally, we've got all kinds of local resources for families. So just come on down. We have a volunteer on Thursday mornings who help specifically with that, but our staff can help you anytime that we're open. Yeah.
So like if you're somebody at a family gathering talked about Aunt Janine and couldn't remember in 18 whatever where she lived in Pittsfield or whether she was married to the guy Bob or the guy George, you guys could
help figure that out. All of that. One of my favorite resources, I always talk about this, is what we lovingly call the crisscross. I don't know what it's actually called now, the Berkshire something directory, but you can look up by street address, by year, by street address, who was living at houses and the names, and there's some just a little bit of information about each family there.
That is very cool.
Yes.
It goes back to when?
Oh my gosh, I don't even know how far back. I think, well, we could go back to our Pittsfield city directories that I think go back to the 1800s, which are a little bit different, but similar. So I know when I moved in Pittsfield or first moved to Pittsfield, I looked up my address to see, okay, who are all my neighbors?
Oh,
I don't even know
who
lives near me.
Yeah.
Who lives, yeah. So.
And can you do that online or do you have to come in?
That is a resource that we have in person.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And it's computer based?
No, this is a paper book that you're flipping through.
Oh, that's incredible. And tell me about maps. That's another passion of mine.
Yeah, we've got all of the atlases. It's really fun to go back and look at some of the atlases from the 19th century and see how the streets have developed. You know, that's always a fun thing that we like to do when we get kid groups, when we have groups of students come in, classes visit. Usually maps are part of the learning requirements somewhere around third grade. So everybody loves to look and see, okay, what did my neighborhood look like before? Where was their pasture? You know, when was this a huge farm and has now been split up into our neighborhood?
Sure. Talk a little bit about your work with the schools, because I remember fondly when a book would be assigned or a series of books would be assigned in 10th grade history, suddenly they would be gone from the school library. So you would have to run
everybody
to the public library. Do you all work with those lists too?
We do. And both our youth services department and specifically our young adult librarian go to our high schools and our middle schools, and we did have third grade visits. I think we've been going to some of the schools to visit, and we get kindergartners to come so that they get comfortable, so that they, you know, they're a great gateway for families to come in.
Yes.
I always love, it's such a good reminder that everyone has to learn how to use a library, right? I think we take it for granted, but the kindergartners always remind me that there's no shame in needing to learn, right? We give the same conversation every year, but there's a new batch of people waiting to learn, and I think that freshness, that reminder, is so good.
Yeah.
So, our youth services department has a great relationship with the schools and with different childcare providers, so that we're out doing outreach to go out and meet them where they are and invite them in to come visit us.
Yeah, that's cool. Another thing that I thought was interesting on your website is the reading recommendations from your librarians, because I know I'll read the book review, I'll read this, I'll read that, and a bunch of lists, and I don't really know, you know, what am I going to like? How does it, you just walk in and say, give me a book.
Yeah, so the official library jargon for it is reader's advisory.
Uh-huh.
And I think we love when someone comes in and tells us about the books that they love. If you use our online catalog, our library catalog, it's called Aspen, we have a tool called Novelist, and that will also, if you look up a book that you like, it will give you some recommendations on the webpage for that book. But also our staff is constantly reading the latest reviews, knowing what books are coming out, and can help walk you through what might be interesting for you.
So they are live, living algorithms help you.
And it's a fun part of the job. Yeah. You can share what's been interesting and why, and then we can learn what our community is enjoying.
Yeah. There's been so much technological change, yet the Dewey Decimal System. Why has it persevered? Why has no one come up with anything different?
Well, folks have come up with things different, right? The Library of Congress has their own classification, LC classification. In Europe, they use something called Universal Decimal Classification, or UDC, instead of Dewey Decimal Classification. I think Dewey, it persists because it persists. It's there. And that's what all of the everything we have is in. So it's a big project to really update all of it. And so the cost benefit of changing that is not really worth it.
Yeah, it's like metric system ain't going to happen, right? Let's talk a little bit about library as community center, because the kinds of things you're talking about are so far beyond picking up a book.
Yeah.
And libraries have always been kind of the refuge, a place that in the middle of the day, if you have an hour between things you need to do, you can go in and read a newspaper, read a magazine. Mm-hmm. They're places with low judgment. Mm-hmm. Why do libraries persist, do you think, as community centers and places?
Yeah, well, we are that one of those third places that we talk about, right?
That?
It's not a workplace. It's not a home. It's this third other place. And it's one of the few places that you can go and not have to buy something, right? You can come to the library. If I want to go hang out at a coffee shop, I got to be prepared to shell out, well, who knows how much now for...
Yeah.
Well-deserved, too.
Yeah,
I'm not
sure.
Criticizing our coffee shops. No. I love those. But the library is a place where you don't have to be prepared to spend that. Librarians, too, we have this ethos of we're here to help you find whatever you're looking for. We're not really interested in what... You know, we're interested in you and in the moment, but we're not going to remember... You know, this non-judgment is kind of built into helping people find what they're passionate about. And so I think that trust, both not demanding something, not requiring something, and also that non-judgment about what you're interested in makes the library the trusted place, the place where it's the kind of place where you want to be. When we rebranded the Athenaeum about 10 years ago now, we got a new logo and new colors and change the look of everything. And we really identified that our vision for the library was that we wanted to welcome everyone. You know, welcoming everyone is not always comfortable, right? I have different views or different ways of living or working than other people, and they do than I. So it's not that we have to make everyone perfectly comfortable, but we do have to make everyone feel welcome.
I was struck by that in this day and age. It's a very bold thing to have on your website. You would think it would not be controversial to welcome everyone, but there you are. Now, do you have community events as well? Because, I mean, part of being the center of the community, you talked about library things. Do other groups use the library
for? Oh, my gosh, absolutely. Yeah, so since we've been redoing our flooring, I will admit that our meeting rooms have been in short supply. But in a regular year, in an average year, we have over 1,000 meetings at the library where people are coming.
You're kidding.
No, yeah, we've got a large auditorium space that can accommodate about 400 people if it's really packed to the gills. And then we have an Athenaeum room. It's a smaller conference room that really 20 to 30 people max could fit in there. Then we do have some smaller meeting spaces that just a handful of folks can meet in. So we're really, you know, when we talk about resources and the library is about connecting people and resources, space, place is a resource, having that meeting space. And so it's one of our most used resources for
so
sure.
What do you have to be to use that? Do you have to be some sort of bona fide organization to be able to use that, or how do you access
that? Yeah, so mostly it's about what the meeting is in terms of size, right? If you and a friend, two of you, want to use a 400 person auditorium,
probably not
the best. And then in terms of cost, we do have rental fees that we generally waive if it's a meeting that's free and open to the public. Now, if somebody wanted to do a fundraiser or a private event, then there is a modest rental fee. But usually, we try to work with everyone to accommodate those meeting needs.
So even if it's like a group of neighbors that want to get together to discuss a thing they want to do in their neighborhood, and they're not an organized group that's registered or anything like that, you can still
if their meeting would be free and open to the public, we will make that space for you as much as we can.
So free and open to the public, do they have to publish?
No, we don't have requirements like that, but just that you're not charging people to participate and that you wouldn't be excluding people from the meeting.
What's your favorite part of the library?
My favorite part of the library, well, this probably sounds silly, but today it's the fish tank.
What? Speak more.
In the children's library, we have a fish tank, which is just loved. Everyone loves it. And I think about during COVID, the library was closed for about 6 weeks. The building was closed. And so we live streamed our fish tank on YouTube, which was just the silliest thing. But it just brought me such joy. I mean, that's the silly answer. Of course, the honest answer is the team, is the staff. You know, you can't beat the people. Mm. People make the place, and they don't come better. You know, it's Wednesday morning, so we've got a ton of friends, volunteers, champing at the bit. It doesn't matter if it is snowing, if the parking lot is being repaved, if the flooring's being redone. They want to be there, and they want to be contributing to the community. They are there. They're sorting those books, making them beautiful for a book sale. That's the kind of place that you want to be. Yeah.
And what kind of volunteer opportunities are there?
Yeah, so I think our biggest volunteer work is really with the Friends book sale, because they just engage so many people so much of the time. Other folks who are interested in volunteering at the library can fill out a volunteer form, and we can see if there's a good fit for you there. Lots of times it's hard unless somebody has a skill that they really want to use, right? If you say, oh, I just want to volunteer. Sometimes people get an idea that they want to read to children. Oh, I love the library. I want to come read to children. And it's really great. It sounds so good. But when you start to learn about the work that goes into planning a story time, how you do the story time, how you plan the craft and the message and the songs that go with it, it's a lot more work than just popping in and reading a book. Yeah.
What kind of opportunities are there? You talked about that. Are there, you know, do you learn how to reshelf for people?
Somebody's job, so it wouldn't be something like that. But we do have particularly a lot with our local history department. They do a lot of, you know, gathering materials on local topics, or some of that indexing that I told you that Don Lutz used to do. You know, we can do some of that. Another volunteer opportunity is we've had some volunteers work with other folks, like we'll do outreach to nursing homes and do homebound delivery for folks at nursing homes who can't get into the library. We'll get books out to them.
Talk about that for a second. So in local nursing homes request books from you?
Yes, for folks who are living there. And so we have volunteers who will help match up, you know, talk to the folks of what they're interested in reading and work with us to get the books so that we can cycle them out.
Huh. What? Tell me about your first experience with a library. What was your first earliest memory of a library?
My first library was my bookshelf in the living room behind the recliner, and I would take those books out and get my little date stamper and have my own library. And then beyond that would have been my elementary school library, which I think we had alluded to earlier.
Yeah. For sure. So they don't do the date stamps anymore, huh?
No, we have receipts now. You can get a receipt with you.
I remember you could see the signature of who had taken it out before and all of that good stuff.
Of course. Now, you know, as we spoke about before, we keep your privacy private now, so you can't tell who checked out that book before.
Yeah. So if somebody's not been to the Berkshire Athenaeum before, what's your invitation? What would you suggest they come in and take a look at first?
Oh, well, when you walk in the door, you walk into our Wendell Avenue entrance, and right there on the wall is a gorgeous photo, a gorgeous Gregory Crudson photo of Pittsfield. So he's this fine arts photographer from Beckett. He's one of the great artists here in the Berkshires, and you can take that in and have a look at it and see how it compares to the Pittsfield you know. See what's the same or what's different from Dalton Avenue, right? Then you'll walk right by our newest books. They're right there. There is going to be something on those shelves that's interesting to you. You know, we get about 400 books a month coming
really?
In the doors. Yes. So there's always something new coming in for you.
And can you call? You talked about the reference librarians and things like that. Can you call if you have a question, if you're like on deadline for
Absolutely.
In school and it's 12th grade and you've got to get this paper done
call
and
us.
You just don't know the thing?
Call us.
You
yeah.
can just call.
499-9480.
Well, I tell you, this has been just a fabulous conversation. Alex Rychkovsky of the Berkshire Athenaeum, the director there. I learned more about the library than I ever thought possible, and I'm so delighted that you're with us today.
Thank you,
Thank you so much,
Thank
Alex.
Thank you so much.
And thank you for being with us this morning on Morning Drive on WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio.